This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Tonight on iRadio's group chat, I am joined by one of my very esteemed colleagues, iRadio presenter and content creator, Mr. Dave Tuke, whose recent TEDx talk in Athlone asked a pretty big question. What does it actually mean to be Irish? We usually think of identity as a checklist, an accent, where you're born, your passport. But Dave's talk challenged all of that and somehow still managed to be funny and very relatable. It also comes at a time when conversations around identity in Ireland are quite current and occupying the headlines. Recently, Dublin Rose of Tralee, Suad Magu, faced online abuse because of her Somali background, despite being born and raised here, sparking a debate about who gets to be seen as really Irish. Dave, first of all, welcome to the show. Pinching myself that I get to chat to you this evening. It's never you I get to interview. It's amazing other people, but I'm buzzing to have you on about this evening. People know you as an iRadio presenter and as someone who's very up for the crack, both as a presenter and also on TikTok too. But this showed a much more reflective side of you as well, this talk. What made you want to take on the topic of Irish identity?
The people who reached out for me to do a TED talk were very interested in some of the content I was doing around Irishness and Irishisms and translations, and they felt that it was helping people who were settling here to understand Ireland. And the more I delved into it, I was like, there is something about Irish identity, especially in the climate that we're currently in and the discussion around immigration and the protests around it and some of the stuff we've seen around the country. And I felt it was big enough to tackle. I didn't feel I'm the man with all the answers, but I wanted to have a different angle and perspective on it.
You definitely had a different angle and perspective. And for people who mightn't have seen the TED Talk yet, what were the big questions you were tackling in your TED Talk?
It was essentially rooted from one question. What does it mean to be Irish? Is it the way you look? Is it the way you sound? Do you have to be born here to be 100% Irish? And the more I delved into it, it seems that, well, there is no one key answer to what does it mean to be Irish, because it's made up of so many different things. If you look at people who we revere as being Irish, whether that is Phil Lynott, the front man of Thin Lizzy, he was a black Irish man. If you ask ChatGPT, what does a typical Irish person look like to the rest of the world? It's white, it's ginger, it's probably drunk. It is the fact that Ronan O'Gara, a man so Irish he speaks French with a Cork accent, was actually born in California. So the people who target somebody and say, you cannot be Irish because you weren't born here, you need to look at the likes of our football players. Nearly 40% of all our World Cup goals were scored by people who weren't born on this island. So if you are going to say you cannot be Irish unless you were born on this island, then you cannot also support our football team. Some of our greatest people are musicians.
Yeah, it's such an interesting point when you look at like with the typical checklist people have for Irishness. It's your passport, it's where you were born, it's your lineage, it's your surname, it's whether you can speak Irish. Why do you think people are so quick to go to a checklist for something like that?
Because people think it's easy. Because we do not investigate anything really fully, to be honest. I hadn't investigated it fully. I set myself a task. I was lucky enough to have the time and the privilege of giving a TED Talk. We don't all have that time to delve into these questions of identity and what it means to be Irish. What bothers me is some people in the South look at people in the six counties not as Irish, as British. They disagree with you calling the North and the South. They're like, oh, we're the Republic of Ireland and they're Northern Ireland. And maybe that is another discussion. So I am intrigued and, to be honest, downright obsessed with Irish identity and those who reckon they have an authority on it. I don't either. I just happen to speak and research about it.
Your TikToks, which a lot of people will know you from as well as being a presenter here on iRadio, it's all about Irish behaviour, Irishisms and things that people can relate to in Ireland. Why do you think culture that is reflected through the likes of TikTok nearly shows what it means to be Irish more so than the checklists that we have been so obsessed with?
Because it's probably real and it's democratised. Anybody who has an opinion, whether they have 2 followers or 100,000, they're able to get their opinion out there. And if it resonates with people, it will continue to spread. So I would look to not just what you put down on a checklist as what it means to be Irish. Maybe look around, maybe talk to people, maybe figure out different experiences and they are out there.
Yeah. And from your experience of working in radio, obviously you hear from so many people around the region every single day, and in your content creation life as well, you have so many followers that are probably messaging you and commenting all the time. Has your perspective on what it means to be living in modern Ireland shifted over time from the amount of people that you've come across?
Yes, I would say so. Although my upbringing, I'll tell you a story of like how far we have come. And maybe we haven't come that far at all. Playing underage football, probably was around under 16s for Melvin Gales. And we were playing Mohill one evening in the park in Kinloch. And the full pre-team talk was about that we weren't to say anything to the black lad on the Mohill team. And we came in at halftime, I think we were 5 or 6 points down. Fair play to you lads, he said, nothing to the black lad on the Mohill team. Because it was out of this world for anybody who was black to be playing Gaelic football, especially in North Leitrim. And we've come on so far. We've seen some people who are from different cultures who never grew up with a schlitter or a hurl or a Gaelic football playing our games. There are people integrated into our communities. And I understand the current concerns and the legitimate concerns that people have about immigration and services and where we're going as a country. But those who enhance our world, those who contribute to our services, those who work so difficultly hard in our hospitals and treat people and save people and contribute to communities, they're more than welcome. So when people go on a mad racist rant, you're wondering, have they studied who they're interacting with? Who is keeping their society going? Without them, if every single immigrant in this country was to disappear overnight, we would cease as a society.
We would have a big problem, yeah.
And Irish people have been immigrants all over the world. We've went to America and we've built it. We've went to Australia and we've built it. And we kind of have to be accepting of people want to come here and build a better lives for themselves.
Welcome them in, open arms. And in fairness, Irish people typically would be very welcoming. So it's not always across the board that you will see that kind of prejudicial narrative, but it can pop up from time to time. Probably has come a long way since you were playing GAA as a child versus now. But even to pick up on something you said there, like about the racist angle, I know that you will have seen this as well, the Dublin Rose Suad Muga receiving online abuse because of her Somalian background, despite being born and raised here in Ireland. When you saw that conversation unfold, did it connect with some of the themes that you were trying to explore in that TED Talk, very coincidentally at the same time?
It absolutely did. It was basically, if I wanted to get an example of what this TED Talk and what I spoke about is speaking about, that is a perfect example. That woman speaks with a thick Dublin accent. She was born in Ireland. She was raised in Ireland. She is an Irish person. Just so happens that she is black and Irish and that she is from a Somalian background. And that's why it's so easy to people, for people to point at somebody like her and go, you're not Irish, because she's black and Irish. But I would love to see anybody who gives that woman racist abuse give the same racist abuse to the likes of Paul McGrath, because they wouldn't. They wouldn't, because nobody is going to say that about Paul McGrath, but it just feels easier because she's an unknown entity that people are able to do that. The mind boggles, but I've went over the points already.
It's one of those things where, though, the fact that you have brought this to a very public stage, and also the TED Talk now being published online, a lot of people have been engaging with it. Your narrative on it and the education that you're giving through it, but also the fact you're bringing humour to it, is very, very powerful. Do you think humour helps to kind of break down the barriers that we put in place about serious topics?
Potentially. People say that the talk was quite funny. I never went out of the way to make it funny. And when I was given it on the night, there was a few laughs and I was like, what? What are they laughing at? But I didn't want to go at it all super serious, because who am I as an authority on Irish identity? And that's what I'm kind of getting at. None of us are a full-born authority on Irish identity. There is no Irish citizenship test like there is in America. So I feel as individuals, and I'm speaking for myself here, none of us are authorities on Irish identity.
Did any of the reaction that you got after the talk surprise you?
Yeah, the people liked it and listened to it and thought that there was something valuable in it and didn't see it as a man who was just exploring Irish identity for 10 minutes on stage. I appreciate people They really enjoyed it, and that is lovely. But it was nothing more than a small exploration of Irish identity.
I think you're being very humble, because it was very impactful, the TED Talk, for sure. And before I let you go, I need to know, now after all of this has come out and people have watched you and you've written it and you've performed and it's all gone so well, would you be up for doing another talk similar to that?
I couldn't. No. What I want to do is condense it down and just get better. I practice that on the day. So with these TED Talks, you have weeks, months to put it together. But of course, you're not going to do anything for about 3 months until about 2 weeks before the event. And then the day of the event, you go in and give it like a live read or a table read, a dry run. That's what they're called. And in the dry run, I messed it up horribly. So I went home, practiced for 3 hours straight, got onto the stage and done it. And of course, it could have been 10 times better. It's all right. I'll do the same talk again.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll tour it like a comedian. You get 1 hour of material and you tour it for 18 months. If there's any businesses that want some 10 minutes and they have a budget to spend on absolutely nothing, I'm more than happy to take money off those multinational companies to go in and talk about this. But no, one TED Talk is enough for anybody. Let's not get greedy.
Well, Dave, if people are listening to you this evening and somehow they are not following you yet online,
they're sensible and they're sane.
Find you.
I'm glad to know that there's people out there that don't follow me, because they're saying Instagram, TikTok, Mr. Dave Duke. I've probably polluted your For You page at once upon a time. I do apologise. You might have seen me doing and Mary videos. Yes, I'm the same guy that's on the radio that is on your phone. I'm sorry. And next I'll be on your telly. And then I will be on your smart screen. And then I'll be on the little screen that's in your car when you're trying to drive. I'll pop up there. I'm coming for you.
And also, we cannot stop you. You're a force of nature, Dave Duke. I have to say, it has been a privilege to interview you, a career highlight.
Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's Group Chat.
I look forward to tomorrow reading all the abusive WhatsApp messages. Because I can see them too tomorrow. See all these guests that come into different radio stations, they walk away and they never say anything. I'm going to read them tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. It's a great fun. The fact that we do read the WhatsApp messages.
Yes, it's live and direct. Unlike RTE, there's no filters. Thanks, Valerie. I'll go now. I'll shut up.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.